Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I am not your aptly named host. I'm Sam Leibowitz, Nonprofit Radio's line producer. Tony is at fundraising day today, getting lots of informative interviews for the show. There is no show next week. It's the 4th of July. Enjoy the fireworks. Tony will be back on July 11th. And on July 18th, it's the 200th show of Nonprofit Radio. We'll have giveaways, live music by Scott Stein, and all of the contributors together. This week's show is a rebroadcast from June 14th, 2013. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Oh, I hope you were with me last week. I'd suffer stichomythia if I heard that you had missed Maria's FAQs. Maria Semple, the prospect finder and our monthly prospect research contributor, does a lot of speaking and training. We talked about what she's frequently asked. And artists Sally West and Keith Wright were with me from Australia to tell us about the Love Is campaign. This week, successful software selection strategy. Don Forns, CEO of Software Advice, leads us through the software selection process for nonprofits. How do you know when yours isn't working quite right? Also, Storify and Quora, our social media contributor, Amy Sample Ward, got a promotion at the nonprofit technology network N10. After that, we'll talk about the value of Storify and Quora, two lesser-known social networks for your nonprofit. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, my blog this week is A Charity Did What Charities Do. Beth Israel Medical Center's fundraising became public in the New York Times. Is there anything they should be ashamed of? My great pleasure now to welcome Don Forns to the show. He started Software Advice in 2005. After a 10-year career in the software industry, he held positions at an investment firm and as a corporate development executive at a pioneering CRM software company. He likes to observe the evolution of software markets, including the impact of innovation. Don Forns, pleasure to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Don, what are some symptoms that a small or mid-sized nonprofit's current system, whether it's software-based or however it's based, isn't working very well?
Yeah, a lot of the nonprofit organizations that we speak to are on the smaller end of the scale, mm-hmm. and they're managing things through Excel spreadsheets. Maybe they have a website that was coded by an employee or volunteer's nephew. They're using Microsoft Outlook and trying to find emails and information in there. There isn't a kind of professional infrastructure for managing their operations.
And that can lead to what? Errors in data? What other kinds of problems?
Certainly errors in data, but difficulty finding the information that they need. Inability to kind of manage an effective workflow and know what's going on and making sure things are getting done, having insight into who are their who is donating, but what segment of constituent is donating, and being able to discover things about their organization.
If you're using Excel spreadsheets, then there might be different versions of that floating around your office.
Yeah, that's one of the big issues with spreadsheets. Now, Excel is an outstanding tool, and that's why so many organizations use it. But you do have that version control issue, and you have just a lot of opportunity for errors in your formulas and things like that. So you get to a certain scale when spreadsheets won't cut it anymore.
Also, in pulling out donor information, you alluded to this. You want to be able to to segment, right? So that you can target people with a specific approach.
Sure, you've got constituents who are big donors, small donors, everything in between. You've got constituents who are giving for different reasons. So you really do want to develop a marketing strategy that identifies your various segments, and you want to work with them in each segment in a unique way that appeals to their motivations
and just
and their resources.
Right. Thank you. And just extracting data. I mean, you should be able to query your database system in lots of different variables.
Yeah, there's so many exciting things going on in terms of analytics these days that the ability to not just automate the transactions, that is, you know, the donations or tracking contact information or interactions, but then to be able to go back and do discovery on that information or quickly generate a report, that type of analysis is so valuable, and it's getting easier, but it's not as easy if you don't have a good infrastructure in place capturing that data in the first place.
Yeah, you can't be very sophisticated. What are the different types of software that might be out there that we're going to be talking about helping people select?
Well, you know, at the core, a nonprofit organization needs to account financially differently than a for-profit organization. So, you know, there is fund accounting, which is critical infrastructure. But then in terms of really growing that business, getting beyond the administration to more strategic, how you're going to raise money and activate your constituents, you've got a range of different applications. And so you've got donor management, which will help you track who are your best donors or who could be your best donors, or maybe a more high volume campaign of how do you get a lot of small donations from a very broad set of targets. And then if it's a membership-based organization, you've got member management. That's, you know, you're providing some kind of value to that membership and trying to track who they are and who's paid their dues and what you can do for them and what their interests are. You have case management where you have, let's say you're a client-based organization where you have clients that you're taking care of or helping. You've got volunteer management where you've got a large force of volunteers and you want to keep them organized and get the most out of that enthusiasm. Those are four examples of very specific applications. And of course, the structure of the nonprofit organization will determine what they need in that case.
Okay.
And then there are larger, broader, more sophisticated systems that integrate these capabilities. But whether or not you go to that level of technology investment, that's a really important question an organization needs to ask itself.
What about event planning?
Sure. Event planning is another application I didn't name, but if you do a lot of events, you need to track registration, you need to track payments for those events, and all the tasks that come along with putting on a great event. So that's another application that could be part of a broad integrated suite or could be purchased on a standalone basis.
And then, of course, for nonprofits that get a lot of their revenue, or even maybe just some of their revenue, from grants, there's always grant administration and management, too.
There is, on both sides of that relationship, both for the foundation or organization that might be giving that grant, as well as the nonprofit that's receiving that grant. So there's software to automate that as well.
Right.
I think
right.
It's... You know, moving to another topic, which is, you know, what do you actually need? I think the organization needs to sit down and think about what are our real pain points? Why are we, where are we falling short? So not just thinking in terms of, gee, that technology is very shiny and cool. I'd love to use that. But where are we experiencing the most pain right now? Is it keeping track of who our donors are or who might be a donor? Or is it really organizing our volunteers to get the most out of them? Or, you know, is it we have a difficult time organizing and managing the grant process? If you have an outstanding grant writer and you're only applying for a few grants per year, maybe you don't need to automate that.
I know you have five different tips that we're going to talk through, but and you've gotten to one of them. Thank you. As you're identifying what your real problem is it possible to? I would think it is, but I want to make sure to get a software solution that's going to solve that problem, but then also have add-on sort of modules that would do other things as the organization's needs change?
Sure. So there are a range of solutions, starting from what we refer to as best of breed. So let's say an application that just does donor management. And they do that very well. And they have a lot of features for donor management. They go deep into that functionality. And then there, on the other end of the scale, are integrated systems that do donor management, member management, case management, event management, the whole range of applications. And we call that an integrated suite. And, you know, in theory, maybe they are broader than they are deep, although in some cases they are both broad and deep.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out where you want to fall on that scale. Obviously, the best-of-breed solution can target a specific pain point you're having. It can typically be implemented more quickly. You have fewer people using it, fewer people involved in the implementation, and you just go and you tackle that problem with that specific best-of-breed solution. When you're talking about an integrated system, you're getting the whole organization mobilized to move to this new system. You're thinking about how do your various departments work together. The folks that are working with donors, the folks that are working with volunteers, the folks that are working with clients, and they're all moving to this new system. It can be somewhat of a big bang approach and requires a lot more change management. And there may be benefits down the road to having everyone working off one seamless infrastructure, sharing data and processes, but getting there is a big investment and mm-hmm. a big challenge for the organization.
We have to take a break for a couple of minutes, Don, and when we come back, we'll keep talking a little about what we're on now. There's different the implementation, and also your tips for identifying what the right solution should be. So I hope everybody stays with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique de Kock.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is a common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Talking to Don Forns. He's the CEO of Software Advice, which you'll find at softwareadvice.com. Don, so in talking about this implementation, it is possible then to buy these things in modules, just what you need immediately, and then there are systems where you can add additional modules. Is that true?
I would say that can be true. The modularity of a system really depends on how it was architected by the software company. So there are some companies that do a very good job of designing their software into modules that can be turned on or off, so that you could, say, deploy 4 of 10 modules and then turn more on as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take for granted that every system is going to be architected in such a way that makes that easy. Some are, some aren't. And that's something to really dig into as you evaluate the software.
Okay. All right. So let's get into your five tips. You really started with one. You introduced one, the type of problem that you're trying to solve. And your advice there really sounds like is to start with the problem, not the cool technology.
Yeah, I like to say don't be romanced by the technology, especially now that we're into this cloud era and there's a lot of advances being made in the user interface and how it looks and feels. This software is just really attractive and great stuff, but make sure you've got a need for it. Don't just go buying technology because it looks cool or because one person in the organization may be tech savvy, they may be an early adopter, but then the rest of the team are, you know, Luddites and won't buy in the same way that person did. You can get yourself in some trouble where you've invested in great technology, but you're not using it.
And I think related to that is that you want to get what's practical for your office.
Sure. So there are systems that are fairly lightweight and do just the basics, and sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes you don't need to over-automate. And other times you have a larger, more sophisticated organization, or one particular department is fairly sophisticated, and you really want some advanced technology. So you've got to think about what is right for your organization or your department.
How do you avoid being romanced or seduced by the bells and whistles, the really cool? Oh, this one, you know, this one does that too. We could use that too. And oh, it has this other thing. We could use that also. How do you keep your feet on the ground?
I think it starts with saying, okay, we're talking about a technology purchase here, but let's put technology aside for a while. Let's sit down and say, what are our biggest challenges? Where are we least efficient? Where do we spend the most amount of time creating the least amount of value? Is it that everyone has their own set of contacts? You know, maybe each person who's working with donors has their own list of contacts. It's not shared, and someone leaves and those contacts go with them, for example.
Mm.
Okay, now you want to look for some kind of donor management system that will unify all those contacts to be shared, even if they are assigned to different individuals. So you want to think about where your biggest pain points are and prioritize what problems you want to solve in what order. I like to say start small, think big, grow quickly. So, you know, start small with, okay, what problems are we going to try and solve? Keeping it in the context of thinking big, eventually we want to solve almost all of these problems and then move from there as you have success. So I think really just having a business discussion about the processes and workflows and what's working and what's not. And then once you say, okay, this is what we're going to solve and this is how we're going to solve it, then you go out and you start evaluating the technology and you stay in control of that sales process rather than letting a salesperson from the software company show off the bells and whistles that make them most attractive. You know, you say, oh, that's great, that's interesting, we'll take that into consideration, but you always come back to what are the core problems you're trying to solve and how does that technology solve those problems.
You talked about fund accounting software earlier. What are some basics around fund accounting, and what sort of problems might an organization have if they're not doing their accounting efficiently?
Sure. I think with accounting, it's important to get the right infrastructure and processes and controls in place. So you need to be automating a process that is that accounting process is mission critical and has to have very strict controls, right? You don't want to ever get into a situation where funds are being misappropriated or you're not sure how much cash flow you have going through the organization. So that is an area where you've got to get the right system in place, and yet at the same time, it can be very constraining because an accounting system has to be rigid and enforce controls. You need to make sure that this software that you're buying handles the processes the way you want to handle them, or that you are willing to adapt to how that software handles those processes.
Oh, so we may have to adapt to what the software requires us to do.
Yeah, so some software is more flexible than others. In accounting, often it's a little more rigid compared to, say, a constituent relationship management system.
Right.
Because, you know, we do have accounting principles that are standardized that we have to follow. So you may have to do things the way that software is built to do it.
I see in a lot of small shops, it seems like very routine things like maybe checks being received or accounts payable being received or paid. They seem, even though they're routine, they seem like each time it's the first time it's ever been done.
I'd hope that's not the case for all organizations. I think some are more efficient than others. I think it comes down to, you know, what is the attitude around payables or receivables, and how quickly are you going to do it, and who's doing it. So I think that getting the right software in place is key there. There are so many great new technologies right now, such as ACH payments. You bring up payables and receivables. In our own organization, we're doing more and more ACH, which is essentially a wire transfer, but no more sending paper checks, but actually just sending the money electronically. And the more modern systems are built to be able to do those kind of transactions.
And I'm glad you explained what ACH is, because on this show I have jargon jail. But you kept yourself out of jargon jail by quickly saying basically ACH is a wire transfer. I think it stands for Automated Clearinghouse. Do you know? Is that right?
That sounds good.
Okay, so, right, I'll take that. And I just meant that. I guess I was going back to symptomology a little bit. You know, it's when I said routine things seem to get treated as if it's the first time every time, even though it's done, you know, a dozen times a month or something. It always seems to be a difficult task. So, go ahead.
You've got organizations where maybe you have a volunteer bookkeeper who's coming in once a week,
right?
Or twice a month or something, and maybe they're using an application that isn't designed for fund accounting. And maybe that particular person is a fine bookkeeper but not very tech savvy. And so that's where you can get into those situations where things are just very slow moving, and no one can really tell whether the check has been cut or not, or received or not. And I think that is symptomatic of the level of sophistication of the organization, or at least that function in the organization.
Let's go back to your tips for finding, navigating your way through the right software. What's next on that you recommend?
Well, we've talked about not being romanced by the technology. We've talked about some of the different applications and identifying the problem first and then matching the technology as the solution. I think another interesting thing is funding the technology. It's an interesting area because there are plenty of people out there who love technology, who love sponsoring technology, who love rolling up their sleeves. Of course, there are plenty who don't. But organizations can identify those constituents who can be very useful as a technology resource. So in technology, there are plenty of people who've been very successful financially. So you may find donors who have a background in technology who get excited about funding some kind of technology purchase and implementation. And at the same time, they can roll up their sleeves and help with advising on selecting that technology, implementing that technology. Then there are folks that fit that description that maybe don't have the financial resources to contribute, but could contribute their time and skills. So technology is an area where, well, let's go back to that bookkeeper.
Yeah.
There may be bookkeepers who could volunteer to do your accounting, but there probably isn't the same level of passion relative to technology, where there's some people that are very passionate about what technology can accomplish and would really be motivated to come in and help you either financially or by rolling up their sleeves. So I think you can be really creative as you think about technology, maybe not just another thing that comes out of the operating budget, but could you do a special campaign around raising money to fund a technology project or getting time donated by folks that are tech savvy.
Mm, okay, excellent. Yeah. And as you touch on this, another issue and that's important and a tip that you have is around the implementation and the training.
Sure. So this is along the same theme I've been hitting on throughout this conversation, which is there really needs to be a process behind the technology, whether that process is something you seek to automate with the technology or a process you switch to because that's the process the technology automates by default. And so the people that are going to adopt this technology and use it are really critical to its success and can also lead to its failure.
Yeah.
So if you buy technology and you don't use it, we refer to that in the industry as shelfware.
Mm, okay.
And
yeah,
as we do surveys of technology users and buyers, almost every time what floats to the top is one of the biggest challenges is adoption. How do you get everyone to start using it? If you have your development folks using a donor management system, but they don't like filling out all the fields. You know, maybe they need the email and the phone number, but just don't want to take the time to put in that physical address. That may serve their needs fine, but it's not going to help the marketing group when they want to do that next direct mail campaign.
Right.
So you can get a lot of dirty data in there. You need to get those folks bought in early to get the right data in the system and clean data in the system. If they've always been more of a relationship person, they don't want to use technology, maybe they do their work over lunches or at events, you can have this whole system you've invested in and people aren't using it. So I make a suggestion that may seem counterintuitive, which is get those people involved in leading the technology selection and implementation effort.
Hmm.
Maybe they're not the lead on the project, but they're involved from the start so that they have a sense of ownership and buy-in and really get exposure to what that technology can do from the start. So you're probably going to put one of your more tech-savvy people in charge of the project, but you need to get those late adopters or Luddites into the process early so that they really have an epiphany and come to believe in that technology.
We also need the leadership. It's got to be used properly at the senior levels, and it's got to be encouraged and sort of enforced from the senior levels.
Yes, and that can be a challenge if your senior management are the late adopters.
Yeah. Okay.
You really need a champion at the most senior levels of the organization who can say, "Hey, this is something we're going to do. The time has come, and everybody's going to get on board." and we're going to get the right amount of funding. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to be too cheap about this. We're going to get the right stuff in place, and we're going to make the changes in how we do things around here, so that we're really using this software and automating our processes the right way.
Don, we have just about a minute left or so, and I want to ask you, what is it that you love about the work that you're doing?
You know, it's a little bit nerdy, but I love efficiency. I love doing things better and faster. And in my own organization, it's reflected by developing our own technology. We rarely even buy third-party technology. We have a team of developers who build everything from scratch to do exactly what we want, and it's led to great efficiency. And I think whether you're advanced enough to build your own or whether you're buying software off the shelf, there is a great sense of momentum and pride that comes from getting better at what you do and getting more efficient. And that's what I love.
Don Forns, CEO of Software Advice. You'll find them at softwareadvice.com. Don, thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
It's been my pleasure. Right now, we go away for a couple minutes. When we return, Tony's Take Two, and then Amy Sample Ward is with me talking about Storify and Quora. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, at talkingalternative.com.
Hi, this is Joanna Croats at The Woman's Playbook on talkingalternative.com. Join us every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. We're talking about the rising she economy and about women entrepreneurs and their growth, their triumphs, and the businesses they run, which is different than the way men run businesses. Every Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m. on talkingalternative.com. It will help you start, run, and grow your business.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
I'm Chuck Longfield of Blackbaud, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.
That was Chuck Longfield, chief researcher, research scientist, actually, at Blackbaud from last year's BBCon conference, and I will be there this year in October also. These Blackbaud people are very modest. It's hard to get them to say their titles. Jana Eggers, Senior Vice President, I think, of Marketing and Products, just said, Jana Eggers from Blackbaud. I have to get them to be a little more forward about their titles. And we have something to say about titles, titles that have changed very shortly. But first, I can't send live listener love this week. I'm sorry, I'm not live. We're pre-recorded this week. However, konnichiwa, ni hao, annyeonghaseyo. You know I send live listener love. Also, California always checks in. Texas, North Carolina, Oregon from time to time. Notice I said Oregon, not Oregon. There's no E at the end of that. I learned that. Who else checks in? New York has been lately. So live listener love to all of you and everybody else who's listening live. I will be back in the studio next Friday. Tony's Take Two, my blog this week is A Charity Did What Charities Do. The fundraising at Beth Israel Medical Center here in New York City became public because of a will contest, and its fundraising methods were the subject of a New York Times story, which is probably something that we would all rather avoid, and I don't think anybody wants their internal office processes splashed internationally on the New York Times, but I saw very little that Beth Israel should be embarrassed about. I think their fundraisers, including their CEO, who of course we know should be a fundraiser, did what they were supposed to be doing, did what charities do. This is a story of a woman who was living in the hospital, literally living in the hospital for 20 years. She was a resident of the hospital for 20 years. And the question is, was the hospital's fundraising tactics inappropriate? And I don't think they were. I think they had a great prospect living among them. And they would have been, I think, careless if they hadn't cultivated and solicited this woman for a charitable gift. There were some emails and some notes to the notes between members or between employees that I think were a little carelessly, unprofessionally worded, but there was nothing unethical, certainly nothing illegal, nothing fraudulent. So I don't really think Beth Israel had that much to worry about when their fundraising became public in the New York Times. And I say more about that on my blog. The post is "A Charity Did What Charities Do," and my blog is at tonymartinetti.com. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, 14th of June, 24th of the year. Oh, I'm very glad that Amy Sample Ward is with me now. She got a promotion at the Nonprofit Technology Network, N10. And her most recent co-authored book is Social Change Anytime Everywhere, about online multi-channel engagement. Her blog is amysampleward.org, and on Twitter she's at amyrsward. I guess I'll say it, because it's easier for me to say than for Amy to say. Congratulations on being promoted to CEO of N10.
Thank you.
When was your promotion effective?
Effective June 1st. So we are in day 11.
All right. Yes, today's Tuesday the 11th. How's it going?
It's going really well. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of time spent trying to figure out who are these people that I work with, because I already got to work with them for the last over 2 years. So it feels like, you know, you can just jump in and we can start moving forward on all kinds of projects. We're already deep in the weeds of the next NTC, which will be in March in D.C. So lots of action, lots of good stuff happening.
NTC, of course, is the Nonprofit Technology Conference.
Yep.
Right? Followers of N10 may not know that, so watch your jargon, jail.
all right.
No mass resignations since your appointment as CEO?
Well, not yet, knock on wood. I don't think that that's the case. I think we're all really excited to dive into work together. I think, you know, any organization that's gone through a transition, you kind of let yourself feel like, well, maybe we'll go in a new direction, maybe we won't, what's going to happen? And so once everything's kind of decided, well, now we can just move forward on all those great ideas that we've been having and conversations that staff have together. Is like, one day maybe we'll do this. So now we can really start putting some of that into motion.
And you were supposed to be in the studio with me today, but you had to be by phone because you have something going on in your apartment, right?
Yes. Since I'm now the CEO at N10, we will be relocating back to Portland, where the N10 main office is. And as such, as Manhattan Real Estate, as soon as our landlord knew that we were moving out, well, he wanted to start fixing it up for the new people. So some repairman is coming to work on the bathroom.
Okay. Lest you get a swelled head as CEO, you still have to be in, you still have to be in your apartment to let the contractors in.
Exactly.
All right. And do you know when you'll be moving? Very sorry to see you going. You won't be live in the studio with me anymore. Or maybe you will one more time.
I
don't know. But when
are
you moving?
We'll be Portlanders again in July.
July. Okay. Well, we'll see whether we get you in the studio one more time or not. I guess depending on when your move is in July. But very happy for you. Congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
This seems like a good time to let listeners know, remind listeners, what N10 is about. What kind of help can small and mid-sized nonprofits get from Nonprofit Technology Network?
Sure. So N10 is a nonprofit ourselves, so we definitely understand what everyone else is going through. And we're the membership organization for anyone looking to use technology to meet your mission. So there's no organizational size requirement, there's no budget requirement, there's no mission-specific or cause-specific focus that we have. It's really truly for everyone that's trying to use technology to be a little bit more effective and more efficient in meeting your mission. So we have the NTC, like we mentioned before, the Nonprofit Technology Conference, which is our annual conference. And this coming year in D.C., we're expecting over 2,000 nonprofit staffers. So it'll be a big, really great conference. But then outside of that conference, we have about 100 webinars a year that are on all different topics, tailored to all different kinds of staff in an organization. Because, you know, for example, if you're thinking about online fundraising, well, there's some pieces of that that your IT staff are interested in. You know, what are the pieces we need to have in place? And then there are pieces of online fundraising that your development team want to know, like how do we make the ask successfully online? So we try and make sure that there's something for all those different sides of everyone in an organization. And we have, depending on the year, between 5 to 8 research reports. And those are free to download for N10 members. And then, you know, outside of all of that, it's really a community. So there's over 11,000 N10 members, 60,000 largely in the community that aren't necessarily paid level but attend webinars or have come to the conference. So there's the probability is such that there's no way that there's someone who hasn't gone through what you're going through at your organization. And it's a great place to come, find those peers, ask them questions, see how they've navigated that website redesign or that RFP process or whatever it may be.
And you make the point very well that this is not only for technologists who understand technology, but it's for everybody in the organization.
Exactly. I mean, it's 2013, right? We're all using technology. It doesn't mean that we're all IT directors, but we all need to use these tools to do our job. And so it's a place where you can go, regardless of what area in the organization you work in, to find resources that help you with your job, whether you're in communications or you're on the program team, whatever it may be.
You'll find N10 at NTEN.org. Cool. Thank you very much, Amy.
Yeah.
I think well, hopefully we'll get you some new members and
excellent
attendees at NTC and viewers of your webinars and readers of your research reports, because I think it's very valuable what N10 does, and it is it's a morass and a black box for a lot of people, and it need not be.
Right.
Let's talk about Storify and Quora.
Let's do it.
Okay, Storify. What's I see it described as content curation. What does this
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, but if you're gonna jargon jail me for NTC, I'm gonna jargon jail you for content curation because that sounds wonky.
Well, I asked you to explain it. Okay, that wouldn't be the way you would describe it.
I actually think Storify is a really cool tool, a really cool platform because it is so directly the definition of social media. It's multi-directional, it's shareable, it's public, all of those pieces that we associate with, you know, what these social tools online are, that is Storify. So essentially, you could go to Storify, you say, I want to create a story, and I want it to be about nonprofit radio.
Oh, excellent.
So put in the hashtag nonprofit radio if that's what you wanted to do your Storify about today after you listen to the podcast. And it will pull in all the media that it finds. It'll pull in the tweets if there are photos, if Tony's taking photos in the studio and posting them, if there are videos posted, whatever kind of video that it can find with that hashtag nonprofit radio. And what's great is that it doesn't just pull it in and say, here you go. It shows you these are all the available pieces of content, you know, we found, and you get to very simply, you don't need to be a technologist to do this, but you can just drag and drop them into your post. You can add your own text, so you could say, here's a great quote from one of our live listeners, and then pull that tweet over, or, you know, whatever those kind of like annotations would be. And then when you are finished compiling it, you can either embed the whole thing in your website or in your blog, or you can just share it out on Twitter or Facebook, wherever you want to share it, and have it stay on the Storify website, you know, wherever, however you want to move it around. And it's great because then people can go back and kind of see that recap of the conversation. I think it's used really well by newspapers. New York Times uses Storify all the time to pull in, you know, what they've seen on a breaking news story kind of in real time, things like that.
I see. And all those examples that you gave, by the way, of nonprofit radio, which is an outstanding example to use. Thank you. They all do exist. We have just a minute before a break. Do you have to start your Storify with a hashtag, or could you just use the phrase, I guess in quotes, Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio? Can you start that way?
Yeah, you could try it that way. It's easier with hashtags only because you know that it's a dedicated tag that people have been using, whereas if you were trying to just search for, you know, any instance of someone saying nonprofit technology, for example, it would just be too big and nebulous to have a clean, you know, conversation captured.
Okay, nonprofit radio is what you meant.
Yep.
Nonprofit technology, I understand, just flows out of
No. I meant nonprofit technology, if you did that generally as a phrase versus, for example, the hashtag NPTech.
I see. Okay. But you can edit out things that are extraneous,
yep.
Right?
Yep, for sure.
Okay. All right, let's take a break, and Amy will return, and we'll keep talking about Storify and also Quora. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi there, and welcome back. Amy, this sounds like something that could be good for nonprofits that don't have a social media team or director at all, because you're pulling in content that's you've already created or that others have already created.
Yeah, especially if you're an organization where you're having an event, or you're having, you put out a new report, or you launched a new program, or, you know, you've done something that's gotten your community talking online about what you're doing, so it's about something specific. It isn't just generally, you know, I like N10. Well, that's terrific, and I would love tweets that say I like N10. You know, it's not necessarily something to capture as a story. So anytime you're doing something that is a little bit more time-bound or topically specific, it's really easy, because A, you, now you have all this content, and so you can just, like you said, even if you don't have a social media or big communications department, you can just go pull it all together fairly quickly. But B, it also means that now all those community members that got highlighted in your Storify get to feel like, oh my gosh, you know, my tweet about the event or the photo that I took of, you know, the ballroom at the event got to be featured in the organization's recap. And that's really cool for them as a member of the community who maybe hadn't ever really felt highlighted or, you know, called out by the organization before. And now they're kind of, you know, they get to shine as part of the recap.
And that makes it more likely that they will share it with their communities.
Exactly.
Now, and Storify, when you said that it gives you the chance to either embed or share, I guess, or both, the people that it, including the people that it shares with, include the people who contributed to everything that got drawn in, right?
Yep, exactly. It has a lot of built-in sharing features, and you can tell it not to do those things, but it wants to encourage you to send out a tweet, for example, to any tweet that you included in your Storify, to send a reply to those people saying, hey, I highlighted you in my Storify, and give them a link, and then they it links back to the Storify. So right. You can have, you know, when you have your Storify account and you're building these specific stories, they'll stay on the Storify account. You'll have a profile there. People can just follow your Storify account if they want to. But you can also embed it on your blog, on your website. Maybe you created a Storify for a specific offline event that you held, and, you know, lots of people tweeted and shared photos, and you create a Storify. Well, that's really great to go back to the event page and add it there. So now it's like an archived event captured page and not just an old registration page. You can keep all that content there.
And so you're extending the life of your content.
Exactly.
I get a tweet like that whenever I participate in a Twitter chat called Fund Chat, hashtag Fund Chat. And at the end of the chat, I get a tweet that says, you're included in my Storify for Fund Chat today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a really great tool for Twitter chats because it's when you are participating in the chat, I think it's fairly easy to follow along. But if you aren't participating in that moment in the chat and you want to go back and look at the hashtag later, it just doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You need that Storify where the organizer can move people's replies to fit underneath the question, you know, instead of kind of the ad hoc free flow that they may have actually come in. So move them out of the time-stamped order of when they were sent, but which question is this person answering and that kind of thing.
Right, put them into a logical order. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, though, that they do come with the timestamp, too. I like that. It pulls in all the original features of the piece of content.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's give some time to Quora. Quora. I won't try to describe it since I got admonished with Storify. So how would you, Amy Sample Ward, describe Quora for listeners?
Sure. So Quora is essentially a Q&A site. So you or others could submit a question, and then you or others could submit an answer. And unlike certain other question and answer websites that you may have seen, or if you have ever like done an internet search just for a question and then you see all of these like different kinds of forums and Q&A websites come up that where someone else has asked that question, Quora tries to keep it really limited so that there's not just like a forever stream of answers, but that there are really prominent answers to that question, which is, you know, something that it kind of plays up as a positive feature. So you're not sifting through and wondering which of these answers is the real answer. And it's a place where both organizations and, individuals of all different backgrounds have really established some of their energy online as a thought leader, a resource to whatever kind of niche field they're in. So it's not just about technology, it's about everything under the sun, and people are there. You know, some people ask a question and then answer it themselves because they want to share information about that topic. But others see questions that others have posted and go in and provide an answer.
I've answered a question on what's the best way to get a taxi cab in New York City.
Nice.
So I don't know that I'm expert, but I had a couple of suggestions. I see too many people standing on the curb. You got to be out there. You got to be in the middle of the street practically.
Yeah, you got to want that taxi.
You got to be at least 25% of the way into the street. If you're not in danger of getting run over, then you're not an effective cab hailer.
Well, that's how you're stopping the taxi, is by preventing them from driving further down the street.
All right. So we just have a minute or so left. How can nonprofits use Quora? It sounds like credibility is very good. How else? Why else?
Well, I think there are lots of ways, whether you want to talk about your, you know, the field in which your organization works and provide answers. Say you work in public education and you want to go, you know, maybe someone has posted a question that says, what does a charter school mean? You, if you work in public education, you probably know and you want to provide an answer. I think the thing to keep in mind is that it is a very individual-driven platform, and so if you have, you know, your executive director, maybe you have a policy director, you have, you know, whoever it may be in your organization, think about having more than one person with an account and providing those answers as that credible individual that represents the organization so that you've created a little bit of space between that answer and your organization and have also said, well, of course our policy director is answering this question because it's about public policy and we have an expert on this. You know, and that's why we're such a credible organization.
Quora.com. Amy, we have to leave it there. Amy Sample Ward, CEO of Nonprofit Technology Network. Congratulations on that again.
Thank you.
She will remain our monthly social media contributor. You'll find her at amysampleward.org. Always a pleasure. Safe move. I hope I get to see you before you go.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye, Amy.
Bye.
Insert sponsor message. Over 9,000 leaders, fundraisers, and board members of small and mid-sized charities listen to Tony. It's not just Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio each week. If you'd like to talk about sponsoring the show, contact me on my blog. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Janice Taylor is usually the assistant producer, but she's not here today. Sam Leibowitz is line producer. Our show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media, and the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. Oh, I hope you'll be with me next week at Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour
at 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.